Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hello there, welcome along to Monday evening's Off the Ball. Coming up this evening, we're going to talk to Jason McAteer, head of Liverpool Wolves, although frankly, it's just an excuse to get him on to talk about why he kicked Michael Owen up the arse over the weekend. Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor in studio. Monday Night Rugby, we've got, we had the Interpros over the weekend again, and we have Toulouse at the RDS, we have Munster away to Gloucester at Kingsholm, we have Ulster hosting Racing, so European Rugby Round 5, very interesting this weekend, and we have Pat Nevin with Kevin Kilbane looking back on the festive period of football. Kevin Kilbane is in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello, Joseph.
53106, we are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack is here.
I was just about to wish everyone a Happy New Year there as well, but you just cut me straight off.
Well, some of us have been here for the last week, so happy New Year to both of you.
Honestly, I felt the Glen Rowe music in my head all last night. I wanted to cry.
I feel terrible for you. That's awful.
Have you been back at work all week?
I've been back at work since last Wednesday.
Today is the first official day everyone's been back, I would say.
Try telling that to the general populace, Joe, who've been hard at it for a week.
Everyone.
And in you, Swan, probably with your Christmas tree still up at home.
Yeah.
Probably still having a little snifter of Advocat between shows.
Still feeling fresh.
Yeah.
That'll last till about Wednesday.
Don't look it.
So we're back. I mean, it's a funny thing. We'll talk to Pat and Evan after 9 o'clock, Kev, on the football show. It's tricky in some ways over Christmas where you miss some games, you don't see some games. It feels like Match of the Day is on every night.
Yeah.
And suddenly in this period, Liverpool have gone from, you know, when you think of the moment Van Dijk popped the ball up in the air against Everton, the league was over.
Yeah.
And now suddenly we're at a point where they could have had a 10-point lead. They're now 4 points clear. It's been an amazing turnaround, and I feel in some ways it's passed me by a little bit, the Man City implosions.
It does. I was at the Wolves game, and that just seems like so long ago.
What's the Wolves game?
Wolves. Sorry. They play Wolves before Christmas, so it was the 22nd, I think, Rich, was it? 22nd? 22nd, I think it was.
Man City played Wolves?
No, Liverpool. Liverpool played Wolves on the Friday night.
City lost that Saturday.
City lost, yes. So Liverpool went to Wolves, won. Van Dijk scored the second for them.
Yeah.
Then they lost two on the bounce. They lost at Leicester, and they lost at home to Palace. And then you're looking, and then it just, how long ago does that seem now? And then you get that classic on Thursday night, which was just an amazing game to watch. It's just everything that was in it. It was just, it's just gone so quick, hasn't it? Everything's just come, like you say, thick and fast with the games. It's been a great watch. I've enjoyed watching it, but you can't keep on top of it.
No, it's hard to.
It's been difficult.
All the while, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, 5 wins from 5.
Yeah.
Good times are back again. Look at the broad smile on his face.
No, I thought presenters aren't allowed to be biased, you know.
Not being biased. But I mean, I would say for Manchester United fans, bar that very brief period where Giggs was the manager and there was a certain novelty, it's the first time since Ferguson has left that Manchester United fans have had a genuine feel-good atmosphere about the club.
Well,
where the manager is saying things like, let's pass the ball forward, let's have runners beyond the ball. Because even when Van Gaal came, one, he bought a load of very average.
He just
went for quantity over quality. He just churned them out, the Daily Blinds of the world. Yeah. Perfectly nice players, but not really top players. And there was just like, you know, passing the ball sideways. Van Gaal said it's going to take them a long time to learn the Dutch way and all this nonsense.
I know.
And so this is the first time where there's been a sense of abandon about Manchester United play since Ferguson. It was a notable stat that it was the first time they'd scored 5 goals since Ferguson's last game under Solskjaer.
Yeah, it is amazing. But that was the exact point you made there about the players that were signed. It is very different from when Ryan Giggs took over, isn't it? Because the calibre of players that United have got now than when they had under Van Gaal, Mourinho, during Mourinho's term, the calibre of players are excellent.
Mm.
But we've just not seen it from them. So all of a sudden now he's got the players playing with a bit of freedom and enjoying it, Rich. Yeah. It's amazing how the faces now, you even watch them on the pitches, they're smiling at each other when they're scoring.
Yeah.
Like when they were scoring goals, they didn't even look happy. So that's what it is.
So there's loads to talk about. That's all on the way. Of course, Jason McAteer over the weekend, before we get into the FA Cup.
What did you think of that, Rich? What did you think of that?
Why? My initial thing in this, especially when it's, because what's getting passed by in all of this, is Hunty sending off him. Was it Friday night?
Friday night, yeah.
And I'm trying to think.
Did you see him give Barry Ferguson the old GAA shoulder?
When did this team become so competitive?
I should say, there's probably people listening going, what are you talking about? Because, you know, people have a lot on. So we are talking about, on Sky Sports, the Super Sixes.
Star Sixes.
Star Sixes.
Okay.
Super Sixes is a betting thing.
Right, okay. The Star Sixes, where it's the rest of the world, which I know Robert Perez plays for, and Mendieta as well.
Mendieta.
Okay.
Alberts.
De Boer.
De Boer. Oh, it's a good team.
Ronald De Boer.
The rest of the world team. Okay. There's the rest of the world team. The rest of the world team. There's England, Wales.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland and Ireland.
Yeah.
And so it's a six-a-side, I presume, based on the name.
Well done, Joe.
Indoor.
Yeah, squad of, it's rolling subs, squad of 10, I think, was it, Rich? 9 or 10. Nine, rolling yeah. subs, yeah.
So Ireland had Stephen Hunt, they had Liam Lawrence.
Hunty loves attacking.
Niall Quinn up front with Owen Coyle.
Yeah.
Who else did we have? Phil Babb.
Quinny and Owen Coyle didn't start, though. They were coming off the bench.
Why didn't you play in this, by the way?
I was asked. I couldn't play. I was away until the Friday, and then I was working over the weekend, so I couldn't get involved in it.
I mean, Owen Coyle has more Star Sixes appearances than he does for the senior Irish team.
Is it? I don't know.
I think he does.
We also had Richie Partridge playing as well, so that's probably true of Richie Partridge, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Ex-formerly of my old secondary school as well.
I'll dig out the full list. I'll get it in a second. It's on the way in. I lost my sheet. I had it all printed out. So anyway, the Sixes thingy.
Star Sixes
is on. And there's a coming together between Michael Owen and Jason McAteer. I would say Owen was genuinely more in the wrong in that there was a little coming together, and then Owen tripped him from behind. It was the more painful of the two interactions.
He has a little go.
He has a little go. A little kick, chop of the shins, and McAteer gets up, and when he faced up against Stephen Cluxton, he kind of chest bumped him. So, you know, what's going on? Unlike Cluxton, Michael Owen didn't throw a dig. But, you know, it was handbags and it was fine. And Owen was walking away and McAteer gave him a playful, I would genuinely say, playful kick up the arse.
Yeah.
And he got sent off. And Owen, I think, got a yellow or got nothing. Anyway.
Yellow. Yeah, he got the yellow, yeah.
It was all fun and games. And then McAteer, it seems, was not happy on Sky Sports afterwards. So here's the gist of what McAteer was saying on Sky.
We come together, we had a little pulling at the share, it was kind of spun round, and then Michael Owen decided to lash out, and you know, I didn't think I wanted to let him get away with it. Referee obviously didn't see it, or he didn't want to see it probably because it was England and Michael Owen, more to the point. And you know, we kind of made up a little bit, and then I gave him a little friendly sort of little push up the backside, and the referee decided to... I mean, I don't know if you're going to show the actual incident. I mean, if you want to show the incident, I think you'll be able to see
it. We've shown it a few times. We can roll it again now for you.
Here it is. Took us through it.
I mean, you'll see us obviously we come together in a minute there. But then Michael Owen, how is that not a red card? How is that not a red card? I'll tell you why it's not a red card. Because it's Michael Owen and it's England. And because the officials are that bad.
It's just that close to saying give us back the six.
Took that a bit serious, didn't he?
Oh my God.
In fact, Jason McAteer and Stephen Hunt disgraced the country. Two red cards, it was a disgrace, yeah.
Well, we've asked Jason McAteer on later on to give us his thoughts ahead of Liverpool against Wolves, but frankly, we just wanted to talk to him about the conspiracy.
Yeah.
This one goes right to the top. Maybe the referee didn't want to see it was Michael Owen. England's Michael Owen.
When did they start taking this out? I know you're saying Hunty likes a challenge, but like... It's a bunch of lads in their 40s.
I know.
Yeah.
A lot of people were watching this over the weekend.
It's good though.
I probably got more viewers than the FA Cup games.
No, it was good. It was good fun actually watching it.
We're at a nice age now where we know all these players.
Yeah.
I remember watching. I mean, there have been versions of this down the years.
I don't know if you saw any of the Wales team. Wales had players that were literally playing international football about 6 months ago.
Or Ireland had Paddy McCourt.
Yeah, Paddy McCourt was playing.
No, you can't have that.
Yeah, Paddy McCourt.
But the Irish team's way too old then. Kind of Niall Quinn and Owen Coyle in the line.
Wales had two lads under 30. Or sort of 30 and just under, I think it was.
Okay, yeah. That defeats what this is about.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Burns bringing in the ringers to the Springfield Isotopes.
So, Jason McAteer on the way, which I'm sure you're all very excited to hear. And Liverpool kick off against Wolves at 7:45. So the team news is in. Do Liverpool fans even want to progress in the FA Cup? One of the questions.
That is the question. Nine changes from that game that you mentioned against Manchester City just last Thursday.
Klopp wants to progress.
Liverpool line out, we think, anyway, with definitely see him on the mini-lane goal. It seems then a back four, Rafa Camacho, Fabinho, Dejan Lovren and Alberto Moreno. In midfield, James Milner, who's one of the two players retained, along with Naby Keita and 17-year-old Curtis Jones, and then a front three of Jerdan Shaqiri and Daniel Sturridge alongside Divock Origi. Mo Salah, Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino all on the Liverpool bench even, as is 16-year-old fullback Kijana Hoover, who could become the youngest ever Liverpool player to play in the FA Cup. Quevin Kelleher, the underage Liverpool goalkeeper, also named on the bench tonight. For Wolves, John Ruddy starts in goal. Their customary back three of Ryan Bennett, former Liverpool man Connor Cody and Willie Bolly, Jonathan Castro-Otto and Ruben Viagra, provide the width. Leander Dendonker, Ruben Neves and Jerome Tino are in midfield with Raul Jimenez and Diogo Jota up front for them. Kickoff at 7:45.
Well, Kev, what's the verdict on those teams?
Fancy Wolves.
Oh.
Fancy Wolves, yeah. Wolves, they've made a couple of changes, but the spine of the side, Richie spoke about that familiar back three that they've had all season. Matt Doherty's been left out, so Johnny has gone in his more natural position. He's been playing left back all season, so it looks to me like a more balanced team. They're used to playing the system. I'd fancy Wolves at home to win that, yeah.
Right, okay. which may not be the end of the world for Liverpool.
No, no, exactly. That's the thing. You touched on it there. How serious is it with Liverpool? I don't know. Richie spoke about that. There could be a few little changes within the system.
You think Fabinho's not going to be in centre half?
I can't see Fabinho and Lovren playing as a centre half partnership together. No,
that's asking for trouble.
It is. Yeah, I don't see it. If that is the case, then I think that Wolves will win definitely tonight. Yeah.
Okay. That kicks off at 7:45. We will talk to Jason McAteer about how he thinks Liverpool are shaping up ahead of 2019, as well as the other business. So that's on the way. Kickoff is at 7:45. Stole the ball, Joe. United haven't played anyone under Solskjaer. Spurs will put them back in their box at the weekend, says Alan in Dublin. It's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. They've been out in Dubai at a warm weather training.
Doha there, yeah.
Apparently there's no curfews as well, man. He's given no curfews.
Is he?
Yeah, he said, yeah, just go and enjoy yourself, lads.
Where did you see that?
I read that in one of the papers yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew. It's asking for trouble.
That could come back to haunt them.
Well, you don't know, do you?
Booze is pretty hard to come by though over there, wouldn't it be?
I'd say Manchester United will find a way.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I think hotels, I think everything's
you're golden in there.
Grand. Have you been out there?
I went there once with a team as well. I think it was Everton. I think it was just training, warm weather, about this stage of the year. Yeah.
What was it like?
I wouldn't be a fan. I wouldn't be a fan.
It's a bit boring,
but I don't
say.
No, I just wouldn't be a fan. Wouldn't be my ideal holiday.
Yeah.
No.
But it's become the real footballer haven, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Bayern Munich are over there at the minute as well too. Mm.
It's great at this time of the year, though, isn't it? It is, because the facilities are all great. That's the thing. The pitches are all great. You've got, you know, brilliant, obviously, hotels, comedy. Everything's perfect for the team.
Should have a World Cup there or something.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, they should.
That's an good idea. That's an idea.
This time of year as well, it'd be class.
Yeah, it's an idea, that.
We will talk to Pat Nevin and see what he makes of the Spurs-United game as well. It is a totally different test for United. I mean, they've been playing against inferior opposition where they can just say, go out and play attacking football.
But United have played that type of side that they've played against the last few weeks and last couple of seasons with at times limited success, when they've played against sides that have dropped off and it's been poor. Look how poor they were a few weeks ago against Palace, and how difficult they made it against Newcastle when they played them at Old Trafford a few months ago, a month ago, whenever it was. So I don't buy that. I think Tottenham will be a different test. Tottenham look a cut above them. I think they are. I think Tottenham probably win the match. But overall, I think it's a step in the right direction for them.
Yeah. Although, actually, interestingly, I don't know if you have this in your news round. Sorry if you have. Pochettino talking in the last maybe 2 hours in his press
saying
conference.
They need to spend, basically. This
especially. He's definitely dropping a hint. He's saying, right, enough of this. I think I jotted it down.
Well, it'll be like a year since they actually bought anybody. Mm. Once it passes by.
Pochettino
was the last person.
Who was the last player that they bought?
It was Lucas Moura. Last significant player, anyway.
It is, that's true, yeah.
Pochettino was saying he's been looking at Europe's top 10 spenders and Spurs are nowhere there, and he's been making the point that things have to change. If I was a Spurs fan hearing this, I would be pretty worried.
But if you're spending north of 500 million on a stadium, approaching a billion, like, where's the transfer funds actually going to come from?
No, I appreciate that, but in the context of Manchester United and Real Madrid both being interested,
I think he's been dropping it in over the last couple of months, Joe. I think the wheels have been set in motion. Just the odd comment that he's been dropping in. Whether or not he wants to see it through to go to the new stadium, but is that a big appeal to him if he's not going to be competitive? That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they'll be there by February. Like, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think they'll be. Yeah, I know that, but I think they'll probably finish top four. They deserve to finish top four. I think the side's good enough. But are we going to get to the stage at the end of the season where there might be Eriksen leaving, as we're led to believe, and then you're looking at your key player going? Mm. Who they're going to replace him with?
Yeah. Okay. McAteer, dead right. We need more players like him in the current squad, says somebody.
Can't just go around booting people up the hole.
Guys, where were Kevin Kilman and Kenny Cunningham at the weekend when their country needed them? It's not acceptable. Shocking, really. I was with Kev on Declan Rice, but now I'm not so sure, says Jerry and Evan. I know, it would make you think Kev's dedication to
his couldn't play, honestly. I really couldn't play. I had other plans and I was working, so I couldn't do it, honestly. Big FA Cup weekend, Joe.
You're doing fine score with Nigel Real Coker.
Highlight of the season, FA Cup third round, Rich.
So, other bits and bobs going on then. The news from Leinster's pre-Heineken Champions Cup press conference this afternoon is suddenly that Johnny Sexton is only 50-50 for the Toulouse game.
Yeah, he suffered a lower leg injury in the recent Pro 14 defeat to Munster at Thomond Park. Devon Toner, another cause for concern for the Leinster coaching staff, ahead of Saturday's game at the Aviva, which is live on Off the Ball. He has an ankle injury, does the second row. In better news for the province, Robbie Henshaw has returned to training ahead of schedule from a hamstring injury, but he won't be risked this weekend. Sexton faces a crucial 24 hours if he's to play on Saturday, but senior coach Stuart Lancaster has the utmost faith that if called upon, Ross Byrne can perform well as a replacement.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he played in Europe last year. You know, it wasn't like he didn't play in any of the European games. Played the European games. He started against Munster in the Pro 14 semi-final. You know, Johnny didn't play at all that game. So, I mean, you know, he was outstanding when he played against Dragons not so long ago. he trains consistently well. He's benefited from being sat underneath Johnny now for 2 or 3 years. So I can't, you know, give him enough credit to how highly I personally regard him. You know, he's a leader, he runs the show, his kicking game is excellent. He's ready, 100%.
So that's Saturday lunchtime. On the Friday night, Munster play Gloucester in King's Home, and more bad news for Chris Farrell, who it feels is very unlucky just now.
Yeah, he seems likely to at least miss Munster's pull-through trip to Gloucester on Friday. He's picked up a knee injury late on Saturday evening's win over Connacht. The centre's going to have scans on the injury with fears he could miss the start of Ireland's Six Nations campaign. This follows almost a year out, of course, with that ligament problem. Chris Cluta is back in full training, though, following a neck problem. John Ryan, he's been cleared after coming through a HIA. Peter O'Mahony and Dan Goggin will both have knocks monitored this week, but both are likely to be fit for the trip to King's Home. And O'Mahony says it's vital they have as strong a squad as possible given the nature of Friday night's opposition.
Yeah, look, I think they're playing a great brand of rugby. You know, their ability to play, you know, play football is very impressive. You know, I think Matt Start has come in the second row for them, and he's kind of given them another edge in their tight five. You know, they have good direction with their halfbacks, and they play some nice rugby. And as I said, they've added that lineup. Their lineup is certainly one of their most impressive parts of the game as well. So, you know, we're certainly going to have our work cut out.
Peter O'Mahony, as has been the case for most of the season, was really excellent in Galway on Saturday. We'll talk to Rory O'Connor and Keith Wood just after 8 o'clock on Monday Night Rugby. Fellas, says Kieran Boyle, will there be any mention of the Bears game last night and the missed field goal? Not too much mention. We'll do NFL tomorrow. I did flick over just as I was watching the golf. McIlroy was in contention in Hawaii. I flicked over just as the field goal was happening. Pure stroke luck. Had no idea it was going on. And thought, surely he's going to get that. And then, did you see this? It hit the upright and then it hit the crossbar and bounced out.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Bears gone. And then American TV, everything's brilliant, you know, in so many ways. And so they quickly had a montage of his previous 5 missed kicks across the season. Now,
he's essentially Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura.
Never kicked in American football. I'm sure it's not as easy as it looks, but his kicking was all over the shop.
Was he?
Ah, right and left. He was slicing one of them. So
it's a dead ball right in the middle of the goal, though.
About 44 metres out.
Pressure as well, Rich. No?
Well, pressure. You got to include pressure, I suppose. But we'll talk NFL tomorrow. We're busy this evening with various things. TV's Joe Malloy's made a big break with the new You series on Netflix. The lead, who is an obsessive bookshop manager, is Joe's doppelganger. I watched the series over the holidays thinking that the lad is the head off Malloy. Useless bit of info for the day, says that text.
What's that Netflix series you were watching instead?
Marie Kondo.
About folding and that?
Yeah. I watched
it's
You
changed
as well.
Your life, you were saying.
It's amazing. Unbelievable.
You see, I've not even heard of it.
You actually strike me as someone who would benefit from it.
That can't be good then. That can't be good for me.
Yeah. It's worth a watch. I mean, if your house is messy and it bothers you, it's well worth it.
I've watched the Sunderland documentary and I've watched the Bobby Robson documentary.
Robson one is excellent.
Bobby's good, isn't it?
Bobby's very good. I like the Sunderland one. Raw. I think it is. It's not great editing because there's a few different.
Well, the shots of the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it go from daytime games to nighttime games? Everything's out of sequence.
Yeah, it is. But a bit raw, a bit edgy. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was quite good. It was good seeing Martin Bain, the CEO.
Yeah. Martin Bain. Bit of a ringer for Rich, actually.
Martin Bain used to be a model in his day.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Probably says it all. Probably says it all about Martin Bain.
It was good, the Sunderland doc, and it's well worth the watch. I feel like we got about 30% of all the carnage which must have been going on behind the scenes.
Do you think? I don't know. I've not seen the Man City one, but I watched the Juve one, I watched the Liverpool one, I watched, what was the other one that had been on? And compared to those,
oh yeah, totally.
It's a little bit more, like, way more edgy, you know.
No, you're getting more of the dirt.
You get obviously Darren Gibson, Ed McGeady, and I thought Ed McGeady comes across great. Ed McGeady is brilliant with the things that he's saying when he's having a.
That was the star turn, actually, Ed McGeady.
Yeah.
Who really just absolutely knifed Chris Coleman.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
So there's a point in it. Like, there's at various points, if you haven't seen it, there's interviews with the players just around the training ground. How's the season going? Obviously, Sunderland in the process of being relegated, and he's just leaning against one of the goalposts, casual as you like, after training, and he's talking about the previous night's game where they went to a 4-3-3. He's kind of just saying, yeah, and they went to a 4-3-3. We've never practiced it before. We've never done anything before. You know, the manager can spout on all he likes about, well, we're there for each other and we'll give it a go. But, like, if he's going to go to a 4-3-3 and we've never practiced it before, it's a bit pointless. It's not really great management. Anyway, thanks, lads. I'm off. Absolutely destroys.
That's Phil McGeady as well. Exactly like that.
Really, yeah.
Exactly like that. Yeah.
Okay.
He can cut you down. Can that?
Well,
the wee man. Yeah.
He cut down his manager. Yeah. Big time. Mm. Right.
Speaking of cutting down.
So where are we going?
The fourth round draw for the FA Cup due to be made after tonight's game at Molineux. Among the sides hoping for a plum draw, League Two side Newport County. A penalty from former Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers striker Padraig Amond 5 minutes from the end saw the South Wales side beat the 2016 Premier League champions Leicester by 2-1. The Carlow man joined Jaron Owen on OTB AM this morning and says he came through some ribbing from the Leicester players before taking his penalty.
There was a couple saying this will be the biggest penalty you will ever take. Don't miss. Look at all the TV cameras. You know, it was, you know, it's stuff you kind of hear it every time you do take a penalty, but probably it's, you know, it's a bit different than taking a penalty in League Two when there's not as many cameras on you or the player who's saying it to you isn't an England international either, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, thankfully the ball went in, and when I do jump up and celebrate, I did have a little look back at the player who had said it to me, and but yeah, thankfully it went in.
Don't be afraid to name names here, Padraig.
Obviously, it was James Maddison.
Ah, right. If you played bingo on which Leicester player was likely to trash talk, we probably all would have had James Maddison.
Yeah, no, but look, at the same time, you fully expect things like, I'd be disappointed if one of our players wasn't saying something like that to them, because you have to try and get in the player's head, because they didn't want to be on the end of a massive upset.
Amazing that he's done it 2 years in a row as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
No, it is. He comes across great, doesn't he, as well? And I think it's 16 goals now this season. He's scored in every round, so he's in great form, isn't he? It's great for him.
Yeah. Michael Owen once got booked against Belgium at Wembley in a friendly. Says it all, really, Paul in Kilkenny.
He's a competitive sort. That's fine. That's senior professional football. It's not a retirees thing in whatever arena that was.
Yeah, but I just presume in the midst of playing your Star Sixes thingy, 10 minutes in, all the competitive juices start flowing, and it might as well be a World Cup final. Mm. It didn't look to me in the bits I saw like anyone was taking it easy.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the first game that we'd played against Scotland, and I was just watching Humpty running round, and I think Jason put a couple of tackles in, Carzo put a couple of challenges in. It was funny.
Spicy.
Yeah, spicy, Rich. Very good. You've always got a great way with words.
The Tournament of Champions in the golf? Rory McIlroy went in contention.
Yeah, he did indeed, but it was the American Xander Schauffele who shot a course record equaling 62 to claim a one-shot victory at the Century Tournament of Champions on Maui overnight. Overnight leader Gary Woodland had to settle for second despite a 5-under 68, and McIlroy was a further three strokes even back, tied for fourth after a final round of 72.
This was very worrying from a Rory McIlroy point of view.
I was actually watching a bit. He was 4-under when I saw bits of it. You know, when you're getting clipped, and then that was it, really, so... So he's 4-under, I think that was through 10, was it? So did he follow in the back nine?
You could almost guess what I'm going to say. Played pretty well, hit lots of good shots. His driving was as good as it's ever been, which is a huge thing to say. I mean, it was absolutely superb. He's hitting these high draws and hitting these, he's worked on this kind of sawn-off low shot, which, you know, kept, you know, just a little kind of stinger almost along. Like, so his driving was absolutely fantastic and found plenty of greens. However, across the entire week, he didn't make a single putt outside 15 feet.
Did he not? Oh, no.
You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. You're just going to have to be literally phenomenal, unbelievably phenomenal from tee to green if you're going to not hole a putt like that. Now, I'm sure there will be days he will hole putts. Of course there will. But for the last few years, there's been a real hope with McIlroy that he'll go away in the off-season and re-emerge in January, and his putting will have improved. And just... And he does this thing after he misses each putt, and even when he makes a putt or two, where he stands next to his caddy afterwards and almost gestures as if to say, I thought that was going more right, or I thought that was going more left, as if he's misread it, you know? And it's really worrying for him.
Is that a psychological thing now?
I just wonder how well he's reading greens. Mm. And I think he's at the point where he could really seriously think about getting a caddy in who is renowned as a green reader and just having them sit with you over every putt and maybe pick up things. Now, look... That feels like a ridiculous thing to say about a guy who shot a 61 or 62 around Portrush when he was 16 years of age and has won four majors. But the stats are horrific. You can't, not a single putt outside 15 feet. He shot a 72 yesterday. The worst round on the course was 73. And McIlroy played, I guarantee you, a damn sight better than those lads.
Yeah, yeah.
Your man Schauffele, who won, shot a 62 course record. There was no wind. This course in Hawaii is notorious. Wind is its biggest defence. Yeah. There was no wind. So there was lots of chances out there. And he's had this thing as well where in final rounds, he was in the last group with Gary Woodland. So he's gone out with Woodland now. He's with in the final round with Tiger Woods when Tiger won the Tour Championship a few months back. Final round, last pairing with Justin Thomas at the Bridgestone Invitational, and the final round at the BMW PGA Tour Championship at Wentworth with Molinari. And each time he's gone out in the final grouping, he's fallen away really badly. Mm. So, yeah, you would put it down as quite worrying on the greens for McIlroy. That said, it's very early days. It was a real continuation of the same problems from last year. Last story or two, Rich?
Yeah, the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick will host this weekend's Munster Hurling League final meeting of Tipperary and Clare. There'll be a 2 p.m. throw-in on Sunday, and that game comes just 2 weeks before the sides are due to meet in the league. While Clare's footballers will face Cork in the final of the McGrath Cup, that will be at Milltown Malbay and will come on Saturday afternoon. Back to hurling, Dublin pair Gary Maguire and Shane Durkin both announced their retirements from intercounty hurling earlier. Maguire won an All-Star in 2011 and helped Dublin win a first Leinster title since 1961 when they won in 2013, while his Ballyboden St. Enda's teammate Durkin returned to the Dublin setup just last year but found game time limited under Pat Gilroy. And the World Anti-Doping Agency will make a second attempt to retrieve vital data from the Moscow lab later this week. Russian authorities had blocked access to the data on New Year's Eve, citing concerns surrounding computer certification. But access to the data had been one of the key criteria to Russia's readmittance to WADA. But a three-person WADA team will return to Moscow this Wednesday, with the deadline for Russia compliance essentially extended until January the 14th.
Rich, lovely stuff. Thanks for that. Now, competition time. All this week, we're giving away entries to Quest Adventure Races. So this is all around Ireland, a grand prize on Friday of a weekend in Kenmare for two people. So Quest Adventure Races involves running, cycling and kayaking across various distances in stunning locations. And the good news is, Kev, there are routes to suit all levels of abilities. Mm. Yeah, you can choose from a Quest race in Kenmare, Glendalough, Killarney or Loch Derg, all of which are great days out. To be in with the chance of winning, just identify our mystery voice who gave this reaction when he stepped on the weighing scales after Christmas.
Jesus, this is dire.
Ferrero Rocher killed him.
Jesus, this is dire.
Are they vegan?
Text your name and answer to 53106. 30 cents. We'll announce the winner later on in the show. All with thanks to Quest Adventure Races. Find out more at questadventureseries.com. After 8 o'clock, Keith Wood is in studio, as is Rory O'Connor. Up next, Liverpool Wolves, and we'll talk to Jason McAteer.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.